Welcome to the Interpreter Foundation podcast. I'm Martin Tanner, your host. Our Come Follow Me topic for this segment is the matchless gift of God's divine Son. The mission of the Interpreter Foundation is to support the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints through scholarship. We make the latest and best scholarship available to you. To learn about everything we offer, please go to interpreterfoundation.org, interpreterfoundation.org. And if you're looking for a fabulous trip this summer, or maybe a great family experience, or a one-of-a-kind Christmas gift, consider joining the Interpreter Foundation for a meticulously crafted tour of Great Britain, led by Dan Peterson and Chris Fredrickson. Explore storied LDS church history sites. Learn about the missionaries who sacrificed much to preach the gospel in the UK. Learn about those who were converts. Explore renowned cathedrals, palaces, quaint villages, spectacular locales, and participate in local cultural events. The tour will conclude with 4 memorable days in London, one of the world's greatest cities. Space is limited, so book your reservations now by visiting Bountiful Travel at bountifultravel.com or simply call them at 801-453-9444. Bountifultravel.com on the internet or call them at 801-453-9444. 453-9444. This segment of our Come Follow Me is about the matchless gift of God's divine Son. The way I thought I would share that with you today is through descriptions of Jesus Christ by those who have actually seen him in near-death experiences. Everyone who's a member of the church has heard the marvelous descriptions of Jesus and the Father in the first vision, in the visions that were had in the Kirtland Temple and in many other places. This will be something a little bit different. The reason I chose these specific ones is because they were the ones that I thought would mean the most to you who are listening. The first is from a friend of mine who has since passed away, named George Ritchie, MD. He wrote a book called Return from Tomorrow, which is available in any LDS bookstore. It's also available in Deseret Book, of course. And George Ritchie was not a Presbyterian, but he loved the Latter-day Saints. And frankly, if his wife would have let him, he probably would have joined the church. He was a Presbyterian. He came to speak in Utah many, many times. He died from pneumonia when he was a young soldier. And he was somewhat religious before then, but not as much, of course, as he would later become. Here's his description physically of Jesus and then about his qualities. Quote, "The Jesus I saw before me when I died was not like the one I had pictured or what I was told he was like in Sunday school. That kind of a Jesus might even have been described as a little bit of a weakling, but the Jesus standing before me was very strong, immense power, and wise beyond measure. He was older than time, but more modern than anyone. I knew my mother loved me more than any other person ever had, but Jesus capacity for love was far greater. It was an immense love, an incredible love. He was bright, bright beyond all imagination. He was brighter than a welder's lamp, brighter than 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 welder's lamps. And yet, it didn't hurt my spiritual eyes. It felt warm and loving beyond measure. And despite all the things I had done in my life, by that point, he was only 21 years old. Despite all the things I had done in my life, Jesus told me that I could do better and loved me 1,000 times more than even my mother possibly could. Close quote. The next description of Jesus is from a little girl who died in a swimming pool when she was age 7 and had this dialogue with Jesus that she recounted to her pediatrician, who's a friend of mine. Crystal, by the way, is also a friend of mine, so there's no HIPAA violation here. Here's what little Crystal at age 7 and Jesus kind of said back and forth to each other. Crystal said, "I don't want to go back. I want to stay here in heaven." Jesus, "No, you really can't." Crystal, "But I don't want to stay there on earth anymore. I don't like it. It's hard." Jesus, "I know that, Crystal." Crystal, "Well, I just want to stay here. It feels like home. There are very mean people down there, and I don't like it." Jesus, "I grieve for you and what they've done to you, and I grieve for what they do to each other. I grieve deeply. I hurt for you and for all on earth, but you have to go back. You have to return." Crystal, "Why?" Jesus, "Because you promised me before you went to earth." Crystal, "But I want to do it another time and on another place on earth." Jesus, "There is no other time. There is no other place. You must do it here and now, as you promised before you were born." Crystal, "Well, you don't understand." But then she looks into his eyes and she knew that he did understand everything. Jesus to Crystal, "You promised me, child, you would do it here and now. You must return, but I promise you, I will be back when it is time for you to leave Earth and come back." Crystal, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I go back." Jesus, "You'll know. You'll know when it's time, and you'll know what to do." That to me is one of the most touching descriptions. Even though Crystal was just 7 years old, these are the kinds of things that adults and others all experience when they're on the other side. And they're the same thoughts that we have. What are we doing here on earth? Are we doing our best? Gee, couldn't I have a do-over? Those are the kinds of things. Here's some other shorter descriptions about Jesus, sort of one-liners from a friend of mine named Howard Storm, who passed away in a hospital in France briefly and then was resuscitated. Quote, "Jesus rescued me out of hell when I cried out for him to save me." From another friend of mine who currently lives in Alaska, Angie Fenimore. Quote, "Jesus pled my case before God in order to take me out of hell." Close quote. A man named John said that when he met Jesus on the other side, Jesus gave him a hug of immense love and told him, when you go back, hug everybody that you have the opportunity to hug. Woman named Linda said this, quote, I was carried in the arms of Jesus toward the light of heaven. Close quote. A man named Randy said, quote, Jesus told me, this happened when Randy was a child, that because I've seen the afterlife, I will never be the same again. Close quote. Jesus told a little girl named Lynn with the bad heart condition that the heart condition she had was given to her so she would have compassion for others. A man named Tom, who had quite a dramatic near-death experience, he was electrocuted essentially, but revived, said, I realize that the light of Jesus gives light to everything and to each of us. Close quote. Here's one from David, another friend of mine who lives in the Ogden area. Quote, Jesus took me to a place overlooking an enormous valley filled with millions of people. I sensed that this was a vision of the future, of something that had not yet happened. Jesus told me the people were about to see his second coming and the resurrection and understand the full meaning of salvation. Close quote. Jesus came to a man named Emmanuel and said this, I'm giving you something that tastes sweet. It's not food, but the gift of my life is sweet for all who will understand it and accept it. Always remember that, close quote. There was a man named George who was taken to four different places in the afterlife by Jesus and learned what the ultimate goals, the ultimate rewards and paths are for all of us. A blind woman named Vicky had a near-death experience in a dramatic car accident. And the fascinating thing about her, she was passenger in the car, not driving, which you will understand when I say that she had been blind from birth. She had never seen anything at all, nothing. But she could see during her near-death experience because she was a spirit only. And she was very reluctant to go back to Earth until Jesus told her that she would marry and have children. Jesus also told her many things about the worth of her life and the things that she needed to do. Jesus came to a woman named Clara in her near-death experience, which was a dramatic accident, and told her that she would have a child. and showed her what her child would look like. And this was, in effect, a vision of the future, which made her want to go back to Earth. I talked to a woman named Lorraine about her near-death experience, in which she saw Jesus with blood on the robe that he was wearing. And Lorraine asked Jesus, "Why do you have blood on your robe?" And he said, "This represents the blood that I shed on the cross for your sins. When you go back to Earth, do better." Close quote. Before an 8-year-old boy passed away from cancer, he had a near-death experience in which he saw Jesus with a whole bunch of children around him. And the fascinating thing about it was that none of the children saw Jesus, even though he was influencing them. The other fascinating part of it was that this setting was on a children's school bus. Jesus was sitting in a ch school bus with a number of children. This is one of a number of near-death experiences of children, which changed a pediatric oncologist at Yale New Haven Hospital from an atheist into a believer in Jesus and the afterlife. A patient named Ralph Duncan had cancer, and in connection with that, he had a near-death experience where he encountered a luminous being who he understood was Jesus. Ralph was not a particularly religious person, so this was something very new to him. Ralph noticed that Jesus didn't look anything like the traditional images of Jesus that he had seen, but the qualities that he had were that he was wise beyond measure, loved Ralph more than he thought possible, and had ultimate empathy for him and the trials that he was undergoing. A young man named John died briefly in a hospital setting. There were complications. And while he was in the presence of Jesus, he felt unconditional love and acceptance, despite having his entire life's review right there in front of Jesus, much of which was quite embarrassing for John. But Jesus didn't care. After all, as John later told me, Jesus knew it all before the experience. The only part was new to either one of us because I knew what had happened in my life, and so did Jesus, was the idea that Jesus knew everything. And so that's something for all of us to consider. Jesus already knows everything we have done, and we know everything we have done. It's not a mystery to God or his son. John knew that Jesus loved him above all else, and Jesus expressed his unconditional love with a hug that he gave to John that was meant to overcome his feelings of being unwanted and being neglected as a child. And at that point, John felt healed from his past, from his horrible and difficult childhood. And after that, Jesus told him, go and love others the same way I love you. A woman named Sandra asked Jesus in her near-death experience in connection with a car accident, what is the most important thing in life? And Jesus told her, it's how we show our love for God by the way we love and treat each other. Sandra said that she learned when we die, we go into the spirit world where we will all be met by Jesus. This is not news to Latter-day Saints, but it was to Sandra. Another man that I interviewed, David, who was not a Christian, learned in his near-death experience that Jesus is the being who was chosen and entrusted by God, these are his words, to help everyone progress line upon line, precept upon precept, and that Jesus is more like God than anyone else. And that God loves Jesus because he is the best example of what humans need to become. Fascinating way to describe Jesus. Just a few more here. I have dozens and dozens and dozens. There was a 13-year-old who had a heart attack, which is quite unusual for a 13-year-old. Lynn, and this is a boy named Lynn. Temporarily died on the operating table and saw Jesus. And Lynn asked Jesus why he had this heart condition, expressing the idea that it just wasn't fair. And Jesus told this young boy, Lynn, your heart condition is something you chose before this life to help you learn and grow and be compassionate. Close quote. Bill was 7 when he fell off a bicycle, severely hurt himself, and had a near-death experience. He met Jesus, who told him he had to go back. Bill liked heaven so much, he more or less fell into a tantrum there right at front of Jesus. He just threw this big tantrum, pitched a fit, and somehow thought, as a 7-year-old might, that this would change Jesus' mind. Instead, Jesus felt, well, he felt from Jesus great love and also some amusement that somehow Bill thought that a tantrum might get Jesus to change his mind. Jesus loves us at whatever stage in life we are at, whether we are young or old. No matter how many foolish things we do, we are loved by Jesus. I will leave it there, but just sort of add my testimony about the matchless love that Jesus has for all of us, and that during this Christmas season, there is nothing greater than the matchless gift of God's divine Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you will join us for other Interpreter Foundation podcasts. Please tell your friends about us and join us at interpreterfoundation.org. I'm Martin Tanner, your host, signing off.